recap of Sunday's readings, it's time for Homily Highlights on Mater Dei Radio.
And here is our good friend, Father Tim Mikaitis, the pastor at Queen of Peace Church in Salem.
You know, when I go and buy something, no matter what it is, I usually use cash or the card. If you use the card, you don't get any change back. If you use the cash, you get change back. So what I do with that change is take it home, put it in my, you know, Father Tim's piggy bank at home, and usually an empty Quaker Oats box or something. And I just leave it in there. I keep adding to it ever so often, and I lose change until it builds up. And two or three months later or whatever. And so then I take it over to Safeway or Fred Meyer's, or better, a bank, because you get actually what the money's worth. But at any rate, these coin machines that you can pour the coins in there, and then they count all the little coins, and then you get the slip out, tells you how much it is. And you could either, it says you can give it to charity, or you could take it as cash. Well, I take it as cash. It's not that much. But anyway, it gives it a little, just, you know, a little spending money for whatever, a little, you know, cash account. So, but one of the things that I learned is you're pouring it in there. You can hear this money, clank, 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 clank. You can hear all the money going through and falling down, and the machine is counting. You see the little numbers adding up the coins, how many quarters, nickels, dimes, whatever you might have. And, oh, there's a Canadian dollar. No, I'm sorry, I don't count that one. But at any rate, so, and obviously the people that are walking around hear this, or at least you think they are, so you're sitting there trying, you know, oh, they must think I'm really wealthy. I got all this money. I'm just pouring it into this machine. When we think of the temple treasury, exactly the same process took place. Not mechanical machines, but apparently there were 13 stations around the temple where people could come and donate money. Actually, number of money was required, not a specific amount, but that everyone coming must make a donation to the temple, to the upkeep of the temple, our regular collection, or to the works of charity, particularly caring for the poor. And in the time of Jesus, certainly the poor in society were, the poorest of the poor were often widows or children who had no parents, no one to care for them. Widows had no safety net. There was no, as we know, no particular way in which the widows could apply for assistance or anything. No such thing. So they relied completely on family. Maybe an older son would take his mother in and care for her in her older years. But if not, the poor woman was just a beggar on the streets and just going from hand to mouth. And we see two widows today in the scriptures. The widow in which Elijah the prophet confronts, and this other widow. Both are in their last dime, you might say, are destitutely poor. And yet in spite of that, they give. Out of their poverty, Jesus says, she still gave, and therefore gave more than other those wealthy. Well, as these scribes or Pharisees or other wealthy came along, they would take their coins and pour them in these large horn-shaped receptacles. And as they pour them, you can hear them. And the more noise you make with your coins being poured in there, the more people might be impressed about it. Oh my, how generous he is. And then they walk over and take their seat of honor. In public, there were benches, apparently, near the Holy of Holies, and the elite would take their special places there in public view of everyone. People would come by and probably offer them a certain deference and honor. And they soaked up all the attention, fancy banquets and all kinds of things. And so our Lord observes that. He castigates them. He used one interesting line. They devour the houses of widows. Meaning, they take that money from the treasury that was meant to help the poor, and they use it for themselves. At the expense of the poor, they seek luxury for themselves. What could be more disgusting or more horrible behavior than that? And so here comes a poor widow. And Jesus gathers his disciples, as often he did, using what he sees as a teachable moment. And as we read the scriptures, he speaks to us as well. Look at that widow out of her self-sacrifice. Pure honor of God, pure trust in God. She gave what little she had. We don't know how the story continued. And that's the scriptures often present these, and we finish the story. We imagine the blessings that she might have had. Maybe she found someone to care for her. She didn't starve to death. The last couple Sundays, of course, we've been hearing about the qualities of discipleship. Remember, we go back several weeks to the rich man who came to Jesus with all his finery and all his wealth, and he kneels down in front of Jesus out of respect. And what more do I need? What haven't I done yet? He's ticking off all the right things. I've done this and this and this. I've been righteous Jew. I've obeyed all these commandments. Is there something I'm missing, Lord, to gain eternal life? And Jesus says, let go of all of that. Sell it all. And then you can come and follow me. The man goes away sad because he's held on so tightly by what he has. He's not willing to let go of it to follow the Lord. And then the other Sunday, the blind man comes to Jesus. He has nothing. He has nothing. He's begging. All he has was the cloak around him. And when Jesus calls his name, he throws it off. He gets rid of all that, and he has absolutely nothing now. So what does he have to lose? He comes to Jesus, who can give him everything. He gives him his sight. And the man follows him on the way. Bartimaeus follows him on the way. And we're still talking about him today, thousands of years later. What, and then the widows today as well. Elijah the prophet comes to the widow. She's there with her son. She says, I'm fixing dinner, something to eat, and after dinner we will die. He said, well, what are you putting in that? Be careful of eating. No. What it means is this is our last food. We have nothing left. We're going to starve to death. And Elijah seems to be insensitive to this. He says, well, give me part of what you have, as small as it is. Give me part of it. Give me a glass of water. I say, well, doesn't Elijah notice what's going on? And yet he's calling her to faith. And because he's this great man of God, trust in him, trust in God, she gives him something to eat and drink, even from the little she had. And then the prophet's promise came true. The oil never went dry. The flour continued for an entire year. She never starved. She had everything she needed. And so the quality of discipleship we're looking for here is generosity and trust. Generosity toward God. There's something called the four levels of happiness, and the fourth level is the most profound. The third level is when I give to one another, give to others. I give to others, but the fourth level is even more important. The happiness we find when we give to God, when we give ourselves to God. It's a saying that goes, says, the poor always sleep well because they have nothing to lose. The rich never sleep, because they're so worried about all their possessions, about where to invest and what to hold, and they fear losing something. Extreme examples, of course, but the point is well made. Letting go of stuff, not being possessed by it, is essential in our discipleship following with the Lord, so that we can give ourselves to Him rather than having these other things that are holding us back, the rich man, the blind man, and these two widows. What more beautiful example can we have from everyday life that Jesus calls us to see? Yes, if you trust God, even in times of great desperation, God will provide. And we see how that lay true. The man got his sight, followed Jesus. Maybe the rich man eventually came back, reconsidered, realized what the opportunity he had or what he had lost, and says, okay, now I'll sell it and go follow Jesus. And the widow was blessed through her generosity. And so this fundamental importance of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, the call, the invitation for every one of us to be able to let go of what we have and to follow Christ. If we place God at the center of our life, if we see our faith as the guide we follow, as we study the scriptures, hear the values and embrace those as fully as we can. Even when we fall, we go back to that same thing. And then we know we'll find happiness. We'll find fulfillment that never ends. Finally, when we come to celebrate the Mass, we're receiving from the Lord Himself. We're beneficiaries of His incredible generosity to humanity, because Jesus held nothing back. He didn't just give us a portion of it. He didn't just give a part of it. He gave it all. He gave His very self on the cross. And so when we receive our Lord in Holy Communion, we receive everything that Jesus wants to give us, His very presence in our life, so that we can take it out and share it with all around us.
That is Father Tim Makaitis at Queen of Peace Church in Salem. And again, you can hear that homily highlight on our Hail Mary Media app. You can go to our website for all the information at materdeiradio.com.